Welcome to this life-transforming message by Reverend Pascal. Reverend Pascal is a seasoned, anointed minister of the gospel whose teachings on Christian living, church growth, and the work of the ministry have inspired and impacted many ministers and believers. He is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant, cell-based ministry with many branches across South Africa. Through powerful services and spirit-led ministry, countless lives are being transformed, souls are being won, and passionate kingdom workers are being raised for the glory of God. As you listen today, may the Word of God minister life, healing, direction, and transformation to your spirit. May you encounter the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in a fresh and personal way. Be richly blessed as you listen.
One great man of God by the name of Yonggi Cho said something very profound years ago about prayer. He said, prayer is like breathing. And it's so true. Prayer is breathing. You see, what breath is to your body is what prayer is to your spirit. Remember that man existed, created by God, but he was lying there. When God came in, the breath of God didn't just enter the body of man, it entered his spirit. It awakened his spirit. That's why the word, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. And pneuma is the same word for air, breathing. When we say that a person has given up the ghost, we say he has breathed his last, meaning the breath has left. Do you understand? Yet the body is there. And sometimes some of the other organs are still even working. They just die after a while. But the breath has left. Pneuma. So, when you pray, you are breathing. That's why a praying person gets a lot done, because he's alive. He's breathing. He's breathing. When you don't pray, you die. And that's why you become unable to achieve a lot of stuff. Now, Yonggi Cho was pastor of the largest church in the world. So such a person, when he speaks, you have to listen. You actually have to listen. A young pastor met Yonggi Cho in the elevator and asked him, "Pastor Yonggi Cho, I just started church. Please, just give me 3 things that I should do for my church to work." "Oh, Pastor Yonggi Cho," said, "very good. Take a pen." "Took a pen. Are you ready?" He said, "Yeah." "Number one," the young man wrote. He said, "Number one, prayer." So he wrote prayer. He said, "Number two, prayer." "Hey." He wrote again, prayer. He's thinking that, wow. So he said, "Number three, prayer." Just before Pastor Yonggi Cho died, he said if he was to start doing church again today, he said he will enter a room, lock himself, and start praying. That's all he will do. That's all he will do. You see, you don't understand something. Most of what is fighting you is invisible. I mean, if you knew what is fighting you, you'll arrest it. You'll catch it. You can't see it. It's invisible. It's invisible. So tonight, I want to start a new series. Why non-praying Christians become weak and failures. Yeah. why non-praying Christians? You see, listen to my words, God. I don't say non-praying people. Because just now you're going to start arguing. You say, but Pastor, I know a lot of people at work, they don't pray, but they are prospering. Then, you see, non-praying Christians. The Bible says that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. So God has shifted the kingdoms and the systems. And a lot of believers don't, they just claim that verse for deliverance. But they don't understand that what it means is actually that the way things used to work this side is not the way. There you get it, Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, we like that part. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. You understand? And God didn't just deliver us from darkness. He conveyed us. Convey means translate, to transport. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So see, these are two different kingdoms. You were here. Somebody came and delivered you. And after He delivered you, He didn't leave you there. He moved you from there to here. God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He didn't leave them in Egypt. After delivering them from Egypt, He moved them to Canaan land. But the biggest challenge is that sometimes people that have been translated try to use the system of the old kingdom in the new kingdom. Like they don't realize that actually it's not just that God has delivered me, also God has conveyed me. God has translated me. So if I'm going to do well, now that I'm this side, I must learn how to operate things this side. This side, you don't need to pray. You do other things. This side also, in fact, this side, if you are praying, you not do well. You understand? If you start praying this side, you not do well. Yeah, you not do well. You have to know how to do makeup. You have to know how to do other things. You have to know how to lie. You have to know how to cheat people. You have to know how to deceive people. You have to know how to get your way around. You have to know how to intimidate people. You have to know how to walk over people, how to use people and abuse people. You have to know how to be sneaky. This side, you don't need prayer. But as soon as you shift from this side to this side, you are now in a new kingdom. The kingdom of the Son of His love. This kingdom works with love. Do you see? So you can't intimidate people this side and it works. You can't cheat people this side and it works. You can't lie to people this side and it works. Nothing of that nature works this side. So how will you succeed this side? You have to learn the ways of this side. And that's the whole purpose of bringing you to church. The Bible says, you know, that it pleases God that all men shall be saved. Meaning, translated from this side to this side. Next line, come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, if you don't know the truth, if you don't have knowledge in this side, you will not do well. So being saved is not enough. It's good, it's important, but it is not enough to do well. Praise the name of Jesus. Start from verse 3. Who desires all men to be saved? Do you see? God desires all men to be saved. Save me, deliverance. So God moves you this side. You are saved. You are in the ark. Do you see? Start from verse 1, actually. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So he started by talking about prayer. Then verse 2. For kings of all and all who are in authority, that we may live quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is what prayer does. Prayer affects people in position of authority. You know, when we had the 30th of June, this past 30th of June, even myself, the Holy Ghost rebuked me. Why? Because I was having a conversation with my friend. He's my friend from Reverend Manasseh from Ghana. He was calling me to check how am I doing hard. And I said, hey, I'm hiding here. I'm in the room. I'm not going anywhere today. I'm here. I'm in the room today. Hey, then it became a conference call. We have another friend who also joined the call. He said, no, Muruti, don't stay in the room. Go and hide in the church. Go and hide in the church. Because if you are in the church, nobody can come there. And the presence of God is there. But in your house, people can come there. Hey! By the time they were done with me, I told them, no, I'm going to go to church. I think it's a bit. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to go to church. Yeah. So, hey. When they are done talking to me, Reverend Manasseh, he said, I must book a hotel. Yeah, he told me, go and book a hotel. Nobody will come look for you in a hotel. Then our other friend, chairman says, no, go to church. And enter there. Nobody must see where you enter there. They are just caring friends. They care. Do you understand? They are just very caring. And by the way, they didn't know the news I told you on Sunday. Do you understand? So I forgot. Do you understand? I even forgot. I was just stressed. So, listen to me. After they finished talking to me, so I'm preparing myself to come to church. Then I remember, hey, church. The things and stars are busy there in the church. They will see me. So already, that is not working. And the hotel too, I will have to come out of the house. That also is not working. Then the Holy Ghost says to me, but all these prayers you've been praying this whole month, you even raised the prayer point. Lord, we pray that the 30th, nothing bad will happen. What was then that prayer all about? If after you've prayed those prayers, you are now hiding yourself in a hotel or in a room or... Hey. Nobody must see me. You must enter like a snake. I was even thinking, how am I going to enter? Because I have to come here. Hey. It was such a difficult equation. So I realized that my prayers and our prayers had worked. If you check, the 30th was a very peaceful day in Lydia. Not even one noise. Our prayers worked though. But ourselves, we forgot. Even me, I forgot that we have been praying for the whole month. I see you praying in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God is our Savior. God is our Savior. Now, this is good. God wants us to pray. It is good and acceptable to God because He saves us when we pray. He delivers us when we pray. He is our Savior, but His saving works through prayer. He says, ask that my kingdom should come and my kingdom will come. If you don't say your kingdom come, my kingdom will not come. If you don't say your will be done, my will not be done. You have to say it first. You have to say your kingdom come, your will be done. Otherwise, you will have the will of another person happening to you. I feel the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yes. Your kingdom come. Your will. He's teaching us how to pray. And he's saying, when you pray, ask me that my kingdom should come where you are. My will should be done there. Because if you don't pray, the Savior will not save. Hmm? Are you listening to what I'm saying? As he said, ask, it shall. He said, I know what you need, but ask. You don't ask because I don't know. You ask because that's how it is. Like, that is the norm. That's how I help you. You have to make a request. Can I tell you something? You are not asking to God because God is far and you are near. Sorry. Hallelujah. Can I shock you? Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Yet he's interceding. Can you imagine? He is here. God is here. But he's interceding. He should be talking. Intercession is how you relate with God. Whether you are here or you are there or you are there. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus is interceding. You are not interceding because you are on earth. We intercede because that's how you relate with God. That's how you relate with him. As soon as you put intercession aside, you put prayer aside, you can't relate with him. You can't relate with him. Are you here? So, I want to talk, you see, who is? It is Christ who died. Romans 8 verse 34. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. How can you be at the right hand of God and you are still interceding? Huh? It's like you were, when you were dating, do you understand? There are certain things you were doing because you are dating. Now you are married, you are still doing those things. Do you understand? You are not doing it because you are dating. You are doing it because that's how the thing will work. That's why most marriages, you see, as soon as they get married, the whole thing collapses. Because they think they were doing while they were dating. As soon as they got married, they say, I'm done. There's no money for these things. Now, let's get to other things. And the whole thing collapses. Check marriages that are doing well. They are continuing to do things they were doing when they were beloved. Check marriages that have become dry. No life. Those things that they were enjoying, they've stopped doing them. Because now they are married. Yeah. Imagine Jesus says, oh, I'm now in heaven. I don't need to intercede anymore. I'm here. Why should I intercede when I see you? I mean, I should intercede if I can't see you. But I'm not seeing you. You are the Holy God, and I'm here. But I'm still talking to you as I'm praying. God says to Jesus, look, you better pray. Don't say you are next to me. That's how you relate with me. Pray for these people. I see you praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, quickly, why non-praying Christians become weak and failures? You shall never be weak. Amen. Non-praying Christian is a well-known phenomenon in churches today. There is such a thing as Christians who don't pray. There's such a thing. Can somebody control the children? Mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Ezekiel 22 verse 30, the Bible says, so I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Hallelujah. Amen. But I found no one. No one was praying. I sought for a man that could pray. Among them. It means there were a lot of them. Among them. I sought for a man. I found no one. Prayerlessness is not a new problem. It's been there. I found no one. I went to this cell. I looked for a man in the cell that could pray so that the cell can work. I found no one who's praying. I entered this family and I could see what Satan is planning against this family. And I just looked for a person that can actually stand on the gap, in the gap, so that the family is not destroyed. But I was surprised. No one was praying. No one was praying. Do you know people are talking? People are working. People are busy. No one is praying. I repeat my statement. Prayerlessness is not a new phenomenon. This is Hezekiah. It started back then. And God can't find a man or a woman who is praying. Amos 6:1. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. You are in Zion, but you are at ease. You don't seem to be bothered by anything. Nothing seems to disturb you. Nothing seems to make you restless. You are just okay. Now, it now become very easy to understand why Isaiah says, those who mourn in Zion. It is this at ease people that become mourners in Zion. I think it's Isaiah 6 or something. To console those who mourn, is it that same Zion where people are at ease? Is where you are finding them mourning. It's where you are finding them with ashes, heaviness. Those things are happening in Zion. You see, console those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, because they are currently with ashes. So I want to give them beauty. They are at ease in Zion. They are not crying in Zion. And as they are crying in Zion, they are going around with ashes. What are ashes? Used things. Ashes are the result of fire burning something. What is left over? It's ashes, leftovers. You are moving around with leftovers of life. Leftovers. Something everybody has used. And they don't want it anymore. They have a kapala shakota palaba. That's the thing that you are going with. Leftovers. Leftovers. To give them beautiful ashes. To give them the oil of joy for mourning. They've lost joy. Faces are hard as rocks. You see, joy is different from happiness. Joy is a fruit of the spirit. It's something that you don't even know why you are joyous, but you are just joyous. You are excited. You are happy. You are blessed. Joy. Instead of mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. People that don't pray, that are at ease, heavy. Zima. Uzima. Heavy. For those of you who don't know, I've shifted to Zulu. I've shifted to my Zulu grace. Zima. Uzima. You are a rock. Umsala. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Heavy. The atmosphere is heavy.
Everything is heavy. And where is this coming from? They are at ease in Zion. They are at ease in Zion. So they are mourning in Zion. They are moving around with ashes in Zion. There's no joy. And there's heaviness. Heaviness. You try to date a heavy person. Yeah. You try to date a person that has no excitement. Even on Christmas, you are wiping tears. Even on Christmas. Christmas. A day everybody is supposed to be happy. This person is sad. On their birthday, they are sad. Yeah. Resurrection Sunday, they are sad. Yeah. They got a job, they are sad. They lose the job, they are sad. Yeah. Yeah. Uzima. Heavy. Yasinda. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So I want to take you through a number of things that will be, do you understand, disaster prediction that I'm now about to release on us. That if you don't pray, expect this. It's like a forecast. Somebody who is saying, I've checked the forecast, is going to rain a tree. Disaster predictions that are awaiting non-praying Christians. Number one, non-praying Christians don't change much. They don't change. Yeah. You see, people that are in the church, they are the same. They're just the same. From the day they enter the church till today, they are the same. They're just the same. They're always the same. You can't understand what's going on there. They are just the same. From the day, the first day they came, they were like that. They are still like that. Nothing changes much. They are just the same. Yeah. I just said, don't expect anything from them. Paul spoke about those people throughout scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. I could not. But as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. You see, like, after coming and talking, I still struggle with you. You haven't changed. I came with spiritual things to share, but I can't. Jesus fully say, you haven't changed much. You are still an infant in Christ. You are still an infant in Christ. You are still a worldly. He say, you are still worldly. Except if the word of God is lying. But you check believers, you will see that believers that haven't changed much into spirituality are worldly. They are still worldly. They are still worldly. Like you, if you check their personal, the thing you must just check their phone. It's the biggest thing you will find. Just check the phone of those people. You will find stuff that you should never find in the phone of a Christian. But they are there. They are there. Plenty. Some, they have a folder that has a password. If you pass that word, you think you have entered you are far. There's another folder that you also now have to pass the word. After you pass the word of that porter, you enter yet another. Wow. What are you hiding? What are you busy with? It's Christians. Still worldly. He said, I could not. Brothers and sisters, see, these are Christians. I mean, he wouldn't call unbelievers brothers and sisters. The brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. I couldn't. The things that actually came to share, I could not share them. I could not share. Then he went to the Hebrews. These are the Corinthians. He went to the Hebrews. Hebrews 5 verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. By this time you ought to be teachers. You see, he says, but you need someone to teach you. You haven't changed much. Elementary truth of God's word. All over again. We must go back to NBS all the time. Must go back to the what it means to be born again. You know, NBS 1 and 2, assurance of salvation. Must tell you about water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. I mean, if you don't believe me, if I give you the microphone now and I say to you, teach us about water baptism, will you even know one scripture on water baptism to share with us? Because that is what makes you a different person. That you cannot teach. You cannot teach. Not that you were taught, but now you cannot teach. It's not that you were taught. It's that you cannot teach. And you are teaching. He said, go and make this up. Teaching them. There must be somebody you are teaching. That's what shows you have matured. Let me now tell you something. The greatest sign that you have matured in the church is not that you've been in the church for 5 years. It's not that you've been in the church for 10 years. It's that you have become a teacher to other people. Is that other people are sitting and you are talking to them every week. That's what shows you have matured. Teaching them to obey. Who are you teaching to obey? We are now in July. Who have you taught to obey this year? You check it. Is there anybody that is learning obedience through you? Is at ease in Zion, at ease, very relaxed, very, very relaxed. We keep saying, I will build someone this year. I will build someone this year. I will build someone this year. I will build something this year. Liars, I will build something this year, and I will build someone this year. Then look at your life. I thank God for those of us that have taken the call and are trying to become cell leaders, trying to do something. But some of you are dodging maturity. You are dodging maturity. For you, maturity is wearing a bigger heel or the latest suit. Because some of you here, if you could enter here with the latest Markham suit, you will feel you are matured. You will be looking for an opportunity to preach to us or to do an announcement or to do something because you want us to see your suit. But what does God look at to see maturity? Teachability and teaching. Are you teaching anyone? He said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Teachers. Have you become a teacher? He said, people who don't change much are prayerless. You need milk, not solid food. Milk. Some of you need purity. You need purity. You are still helping yourself on purity. Yeah. If God could show you a vision of yourself, now you see yourself going to spa with a trolley. Do you understand? And you will pass rice. You will pass potato. You will pass mealy meal. You will not believe as you are pushing this trolley. And you will be in front of purity cans. And you will be collecting purity cans, putting inside your trolley and formula milk. lactogen, you're taking a tin of lactogen, three tins of lactogen, you are putting inside your tray like that. Yeah. Milk. Are you here? This is what happens when you don't pray. You don't change much. Let me give you just one more. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7. Always learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning. It don't change much. And I'm sorry to say this. Can I say this? Let me not say. Let the Bible say it. NLT the verse. Let the Bible say it. Just NLT the verse. Such women. Look. I'm not say. I will not say anything. Let the Bible speak. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. Did I say it?
No.
I didn't say anything. Such women. Are you one of such women? I'm asking you, are you one of such women tonight? I hope you are not one of such women. A woman who is forever learning, but you can never come and find her teaching. You can never come and find her taking responsibility. You can never come and find her doing something. What changes us? You see that these women are receiving teachings, but are they changing? Are they changing? They are always learning, but are they changing? No. You see, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge, mere knowledge just puffs up. You just start being proud that you read this book, that you listen to this podcast, and that you did this. That's all. That you just become a puffed up person. Find the scripture. Knowledge puff. It's a verse. It's in 1 Corinthians, I believe. Knowledge puffs up. To puff up, it makes you proud. It doesn't change you. Or if it's changing, it's changing you into a wicked and a proud person. Look at it. But knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. So knowing in itself doesn't change you. That's why you see people are in the church for years. They are learning every Sunday, learning every, but they are not changing. They are receiving preachers. Some churches, they even bring guest speaker every month. People are the same. That is, it's just knowing a lot of things, that's what changes you. In this kingdom, what really changes you? You are learning it now. Luke 9:29. This is the master key to transformation in this kingdom. As he was praying. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. So now you are beginning to register changes for the first time in this person. There are now changes, and the changes are not changes of circumstances. The changes are not changes of things. The changes are the changes of the person who is praying. One day you will wake up to realize God is more interested in changing you than changing your problems. In fact, your problems exist because of the current version of you. If your version was different from the one you have, certain problems will not even find place around you. So changing problems will not solve the problem. What is around you is because of what is in you. So if we just change what is around you and we don't change what is in you, it's a matter of time. What is in you will continue calling what is around you. Prayer changes you. Not the problems first. You. Problems are there because of the current you that's there. The current you is very accommodative to the current problems. Yeah. The current you. As I say, if you like, try to change things. You will see how difficult it is to change things around you. You try. Try to make your neighbor to not play loud music. Try to make this one to not do this. Try to make your sister to not treat you the way. Just try. If you see, if you'll succeed. The easiest thing to do is to change you. Change you. If you can change you, you'll be amazed that the new version of you will start calling different realities around you. I've shared this many times. Imagine a baby. A baby is trying to reach out to get a glass from the cupboard. See how the baby will struggle. Fall so many times. Hurt himself so many times. And sometimes when the baby even reaches the cup, the glass, he breaks the glass. But imagine the same child leave the glass alone and grows. Just grow. Leave the glass alone. Just grow. A day will come, you just pick it like that. No stress. The glass has remained in the same position. The only thing that has happened is that you have grown. You have changed. And because you have changed, what was such a big task yesterday has become nothing today. First man to ever climb on Mount Everest. Before he could climb, I've shared this story many times, I can't remember his name now. The first expedition he took, everybody died, he survived. Second, everybody died, he survived. He was having a press conference. Are you going to try? He said, I will try again. He said, why? You've lost so many lives. And you've saved yourself by chance. He said, I won't going to tell you why I'm going to try again. Because, you see, Mount Everest can never grow any higher than it is. But I can grow. I can develop. I can learn new tactics. I can learn new things. Mount Everest can never learn and adjust itself. Mount Everest is the highest mountain on earth. The third time he was on top of Mount Everest. Many of you here will be on top of your Mount Everest. If you could take your time to change. The current version of you that sleeps too much. The current version of you that eats too much. The current version of you that never reads a book. The current version of you that doesn't listen to messages. The current version of you. How are you surprised that flowers are following you? And you go to the toilet, you don't wipe properly, and you are surprised that flies are following you. Now imagine flies are following you and you are following the flies. Hey, don't follow me. I don't like it. Then you go, they get it. I said, I don't like it. Go away. The flies are saying, look, there's something on you us calling us. If you don't want us, stop chasing us. Go clean up. Ash! I don't know why this type of boyfriend that I broke, I always go away, go away, go away, go away, go away. I'm always finding myself dating funny people. Go away, go away, go away. The people are saying, look, there's something on you that's calling us. You don't like us? No problem. Change. 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 Stop chasing the flies. Go wash. You change. And you'll be surprised that the flies that seem to like you just now, as soon as you come out clean, the flies will just pass you as if they don't know you. Because this is a new version of you. You've changed the version. And as soon as we change the version, life stops fighting you, my sister. Everything starts lining up. You will notice that some of these flies are the most obedient fly you can ever fly. All of a sudden, they just leave you alone. Hey, and if you like, don't wipe up. They'll go and call the other ones. They say, no, there's something here. He's chasing us, but we know. We can smell it. We are coming. Bah! The embarrassment, all these things, the shame. Simply because you didn't change. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Can I give you a little advice? When you try something the first time, it doesn't work. You try again a second time, stop trying it. Stop trying it. Work on you. Work on you. Can I tell you something? Life is not as hard as you think it is. No. What makes it hard is that sometimes we don't know what is needed to adjust. So we continue doing the wrong thing. We continue putting the investment in the wrong area. Look at Jesus Christ. He goes in the wilderness 40 days and 40. All he's doing is praying, he's praying, he's praying. As soon as he returned from there, news spread. No billboard, no advertisement, no announcement, no flyers, but news is spreading. The virgin that went to the wilderness had no news. Unknown to everyone, the same Jesus, unknown. Jesus goes and prays for 40 days. By the time Jesus comes back, people are wondering, who is this guy? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? See, a new version of Jesus came out of the wilderness.
Matthew 17, verse 1 to 2. Are you blessed? This is going to be a very important series for your life, you know? Yeah. I'll be doing this series on Fridays. One on praying Christians become weak and failures. This is just point one. I have about 17 points. This is point one. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John to the brother of James and led them up a high mountain by themselves. What do you think they're there to do? They're there to have bride. They're having bride on the mountain. They're having bride. They're calling all their friends. Come and check. They're taking videos. Hey, we are here. Like some guy. I told you about this guy here in the church. He goes to a mountain up there. Started kissing again. Take a picture of him. I'm saying, oh, you see. Yeah. People go to the mountain to do other things. Some people go to, when you see people say, we are going to the mountain. Don't quickly follow people that are going to the mountain. You don't know what they are going to do on the mountain. You'll be surprised. You'll be very surprised. You see? But Jesus, we know what Jesus was doing on the mountain. Was praying.
Now, look at verse 2. There he was transfigured before them. Before, as they are watching, he's changing. He transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Transformation on the mountain of prayer. Do you see something about this prayer that it keeps going for your face first? Have you noticed that, you know, on Luke we say his face. Here in Matthew, his face. You know, because everything about you is connected to your face. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't like your face? Have you heard that before? And I don't like his face. The guy might even be handsome. He said, I don't like his. There's something about the person I don't like. But they equate it to the face. When a person is disfavored, the disfavor is not connected to the hands. It's the face. It's the face. When a person is favored, favor is the face. People just look at you and they start liking you. They can't say why. They just, I know I like her. When somebody say I like her, do you think they talk about the breasts? Or they talking about the legs? The face. It is the face they are referring to. I like him. Oh no, he's a good guy. I like him. They are talking about his face. Like that's the first thing that is in their head as they are talking about. I like this guy. And that's the first thing prayer comes and work on. Your face. Adjusting your face, correcting your face, fixing your face so that you are likable. Oh my God, people. I'm talking to the wrong people. You are likable. You are favorable. It's so important. You don't know. You are where you are because some people don't like you. You don't have a job because some people don't like you. It's not that there are no jobs. Some people don't just like you. Okay, it's fine. No, it's okay. It's okay. You are not married because somebody doesn't like you. There's something about you they don't like. It just repels them. You might not even know what it is. But there's just something about you that when you show up, it shows up. Hey! When you show up, it shows up and it spoils the whole thing. That's why your Father in heaven, he keeps looking at this thing, and people on earth call it bad luck. They call it different names because they don't know what it is. They can't explain what it is. But they just know there's something that messes up your things. It messes them up. Start being with somebody before you realize they start avoiding your calls. They just start avoiding, and then before you realize they've shifted. And you are left there again alone by yourself in the middle of the sea. Prayer wants to tune your face. When you start praying, God comes. You know, even back then in the village, our great, 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 great parents, they had something they called washing your face. It was in juju that they do for you. Do you understand? I remember vividly my elder brother, every time he goes hunting, he will miss. Do you understand? Like, even the animal is here. That guy, he would take the gun, pull the thing, would go like this. I remember I was very young then, but my dad was so angry one day. My dad said, "You, I need to wash your face." I remember that very, very well. I remember Kepler. I remember my father saying, "You, I need to wash your face." Why? He misses birds. He misses antelope. He misses monkeys. Anything. He just misses it. So my father said, no. Many times he says the gun. He says it's the gun. He said, we fix the gun. He says this, we fix.
Now what are you going to say? So I need to wash your face. And a lot of you here tonight, the Holy Ghost wants to wash your face. Oh, you're not saying amen. You are saying, yeah, Pastor, me, I don't flow with those. You don't flow. Here is the power of prayer working on the face. Removing stuff on the face. Removing stuff on the face. Cleaning the face. Making you nice. Making you favorable. Making you nice and people want to help you. That's what prayer does. Prayer affects your face. And once people start liking your face, they like everything about you. They start flowing with you. Amen.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and transformed by the powerful Word of God ministered by Reverend Pascal. If you are anywhere around Rustenburg, South Africa, we warmly invite you to fellowship with us at one of the many branches of Alive Bible Church. Join us for our uplifting services every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Friday at 4 p.m. for our prayer services. Stay connected with Alive Bible Church through our social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more inspiring messages and updates. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you.